Welcome back into the Pick and Roll NBA podcast with Jet and Sap, presented by Full Press Coverage. Sap, you and I had a whole show planned today. You know, we were going to, you know, combat this terrible cold that we have here where it's, you know, feels like it. We're going to freeze to death by just stepping outside, by talking about, you know, NBA All-Star Weekend coming up and the trade deadline coming up and, you know, what's going on. And then look who comes in to hijack the whole week and all the headlines. Old friend Kyrie Irving, he requests a trade out of Brooklyn, and that is all the NBA world can talk about right now. Is again just exactly how he likes it. Kyrie Irving, right in the middle of all this NBA drama. Sap.
Well, Kyrie Irving is an all-star starter, so we kind of cover that, right? So he may be starting for the Western Conference, or he might be playing on the Western Conference. Well, he may be playing for Team LeBron. He may not be a starter in the All-Star game because, you know, you'd have – I don't know. I'm confused already just trying to think about it. But, yeah, I mean, here's Kyrie 6 days before the trade deadline, as requested, not demanded, requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. And now we hear that some of the suitors would be obviously the Lakers, which was the first team that comes to mind. Dallas as well. I think that would be an interesting pair with Luka Doncic. I'm not sure what Dallas has to offer. Maybe future draft picks. Miami, I think, would also be in play at some point. But yeah, there's Kyrie 6 days before the trade deadline, which to me is way too soon anyway. Trade deadline's like, you know, a week and a half before the All-Star game, which is kind of crazy. But Kyrie Irving dominating news once again. He's good at this stuff.
Yeah, you know, this was, I believe it was like 2 or 3 days ago where Kyrie was saying, you know, I want to play the rest of my career here in Brooklyn, you know, with Kevin Durant out, you know, a lot of this has been put on me. But good thing is that we have no guys who are halfway in this locker room. And, you know,
Ben Simmons doesn't apply.
This is just what he says, Sap, you know, there's nothing that he says that is, you know, accurate or makes any sort of sense. I mean, obviously that's the perfect example, Sap, is Ben Simmons is as halfway in as halfway in could be.
He's not a quarter of the way in.
Right. So, you know, it's just more, again, I'm coming at this as I can't stand the guy. If you've listened to one episode of this podcast in the past two, however many years we've been doing this, that's pretty painfully obvious, is that I can't stand the guy for more reasons than he, you know, quit on the Celtics. Since that point, and I'm getting into fights online with people because I'm turning into Ian Glendon, Sap, whenever anybody says anything against Tom Brady, Ian's ears perk up and he's battling everybody on Twitter. And now when anybody says, oh, you know, Kyrie, just let it go. It happened 4 years ago. I'm the same way now where, like, I feel the need to chime in because it's not about him just quitting on the Celtics. That was just like the first. OK, like as a basketball fan, as a Celtics fan, like I didn't like him because of that. But like since then, he's done a lot of things to irritate me and to really, you know, rub, I think, a lot of people the wrong way, starting with the, you know, calling Boston racist, the anti-vax stuff, promoting the anti-vax stuff, obviously the anti-Semitic movie that he was promoting. You know, there's plenty of stuff, reasons for people to not like Kyrie besides he quit on the Boston Celtics. That's my only point. And one of them is exactly what he's doing right now, which is every place he's been, Sap, he's torched to the ground. He's just, there's no place that he feels like he's going to be, you know, the model citizen or loyal to that team or leave in good shape. He's incapable of doing it.
Right. And he wanted to be a leader with the Celtics. And obviously he's not a leader. We've seen that already in Brooklyn this year when Durant went out, they were playing great basketball. They were chasing the Celtics for the best record in the Eastern Conference since Durant's been out. Well, they've backslid somewhat. And that's to be expected when you lose one of the best players in basketball. Your team's not going to play as well. But Kyrie's not a leader. He's probably perfect as a second or third wheel. He's marvelously talented. We know that. He's had some big playoff moments. He's also had some playoff stinkers as well. He had the perfect situation in Cleveland after his first 3 years where they had the worst record in basketball for the three-year period. LeBron signs there and he kind of pushed back against LeBron rather than embracing LeBron. And then, as we know, they went to the finals 3 straight years together, won a championship in the middle, And then Kyrie bailed out and ended up on the Celtics, and that didn't work out well. Then he signs with Durant in Brooklyn, and it's been, you know, some nice moments, but more bad moments, including last year and in the beginning of this year with the, you know, anti-Semitic notions, right? I mean, by liking that anti-Semitic movie is defending whatever was in that thing. So, yeah, I mean, he is marvelously talented. No one's going to deny that. And I think if he goes to a team like Dallas or the Lakers, and if his head is screwed on for even 2.5 months, he could make that team be the favorite or an instant contender in the Western Conference without question. He's that good. But now you have to put up with a lot of his nonsense. So here he is again, causing a stir with the current team he's on, and, you know, just bringing a lot of bad vibes to the team he's on. And what exactly is going to happen over the next 6 days? Will Brooklyn go ahead and trade him? Because from what I understand, is a couple of days ago, it felt like he was on the precipice of signing an extension. And then there were some things in the contract that he didn't want to adhere to, which may have been a morals clause. Who knows? Maybe it was money. I don't know. But now he wants to get traded. So, you know, it's less than a week away from the trade deadline. So Brooklyn may just say, you know what, we got to get rid of this guy. But, you know, what do you get back in return? Obviously, the first place you think of is the Lakers for Russell Westbrook. Now, would Durant be happy with Westbrook coming to Brooklyn? Probably not. The Lakers can't give up any draft picks to, what, 2027 and 2029? Right. They haven't wanted to give up those draft picks. I mean, a Westbrook for Kyrie swap, can that work? You know, Westbrook's been pretty good with the Lakers this year. Not great, but pretty good. Kyrie's a better player at this point. And I think you put Kyrie with Anthony Davis, if healthy, and the two big Fs, to go along with LeBron, they could contend in the West without question. But again, you know, you're trying to draw an inside straight flush when you're talking about Kyrie and the health of Anthony Davis.
Yeah, you know, I look at the teams that, you know, you mentioned at the top, Sap, in terms of potentially trading for Kyrie, Miami, the Lakers, and Dallas, and that the same thing strikes me about all the three of those teams is that they're sort of desperate right now, and those are the only teams that would really trade for Kyrie Irving at this point in his career is a desperate team. Yeah, not taking away, like you said, Sap, he's insanely talented. You can see it every time he steps on the floor. I mean, he's a freakishly, freakishly talented basketball player. Cannot deny that. No matter how much I don't like him as a person, I can't deny the talent. That's, you know, that's crazy. But at the same time, I think we have enough of a track record right now with Kyrie Irving and his career, Sap, to say, well, he's not really worth the trouble. I just don't see that he's worth giving up anything of any sort of value for at this point. And unless you're desperate, and those three teams that you mentioned right now are in situations where, as it stands, none of those teams can compete for a championship. If they acquire Kyrie, like you said, it's kind of like trying to draw an inside straight flush. At least it gives them some outside possibility. But if I'm Brooklyn, you know, you're looking in and saying, well, okay, I can get Russell Westbrook, but that doesn't really do much anything for me. We're not going to compete for a championship with Russell Westbrook as our second best player. Like, I kind of almost feel like they should just be like, screw this guy. He's put us through hell the past couple of years. Just, you know, go home at this point, unless they're going to get those first round picks from the Lakers or you know, some valuable player or asset from the Mavericks or the Heat or whoever, then I don't see why they'd be very highly motivated to acquiesce Kyrie at this point in this, you know, in this relationship.
Other than just to rid themselves of Kyrie Irving, other than the fact that maybe he just quits on them, right? And then that's a whole other story. And now you kiss away any chance that you have to contend for a title. Because, I mean, when Kyrie was engaged and Durant was healthy, that team was playing excellent basketball, right? I mean, you can make a case that along with Philadelphia, Milwaukee, maybe Cleveland, they were the second best team in the Eastern Conference behind the Celtics. And by the way, the Celtics just own Brooklyn at this point, especially if Durant's not playing. It was a joke the other night when the Celtics had a 46-16 lead at the end of the first quarter. I mean, I thought I was watching girls' high school basketball with Cheryl Miller playing. But yeah, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. I think the Lakers are in a position where they've kind of righted the ship a little bit, right? They start off 2-10. They play much better basketball. They need an extra player, and certainly Kyrie could put them over the top, but he could also sink the ship. I mean, you don't know with him.
Right. And I think, Sap, you know, sort of something that you were maybe alluding to a little bit here, too, and that is another piece of this puzzle with Kevin Durant being out right now. And they were playing, as you mentioned, really well when he's there. What's he thinking right now? You know, he had a trade request over the summer. He brought it back. They played really, really well when the team was healthy and he was there. Right now, you know, he's still probably like a week or so. Maybe he's going to play in the All-Star game. Maybe he's not from coming back and being healthy. But, you know, this is somebody he tied his career to. And now it's only been misery for Durant since mm-hmm. he's been with Kyrie. So what's he thinking right now, Sap?
Does he pull up and request a trade himself? And I don't know, because they have a really good relationship from what we understand. He may support Kyrie on this, because, again, if there's an issue with the contract negotiation, I'm not sure if it was about money or if there are things in the contract that Kyrie didn't want to adhere to. Maybe Durant's supporting him on that. I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
with Durant, I know that Kyrie,
they're not really, you know, like guys that you can figure out what they're thinking.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know Kyrie from the reports wanted, you know, a 4-year maximum contract, and I don't blame the Nets for saying, no, we're not gonna, you know, trust you for 4 years and give you max money.
He doesn't really qualify for max money, right? Because he hasn't. What did he finish? Third team All NBA like once. Like, as great as he is, you know, if you just look at his accomplishments, he's never been close to being MVP of the league. I don't even know if he's ever been a top 10 finisher in MVP voting. And then I think he was third team All NBA once, maybe with Cleveland, and that's it.
Well, just so, look at the games played.
Oh, sure. Yeah. He plays 65% of the game. Yeah, exactly. He's, you know, and that is what defines these max contracts, right? That's why it's so important with the Celtics with Jaylen Brown. If Jaylen Brown can be third team All NBA, you know, then he becomes eligible for that max contract. We know Tatum's already there. So, yeah, those are big things that the players try to accomplish to make sure they get their most money. Kyrie doesn't really necessarily fit into that, because he's like a great idea, right? Who doesn't always put it all together. He has his moments, but, you know, you're kind of buying on hope that the guy is going to be buttoned up for 2.5 months and through the postseason. I mean, this is the kind of guy who could go to LA, play really well for 2 months, get to the postseason, and then lose interest. Nothing would surprise you with Kyrie Irving.
No, not at all. And you know, that's sort of been the story of his career, is that you can't predict what the guy's going to do, because it's like the second you think you know what he's going to do, he feels a compulsive need to zag, mm-hmm. you know, when you think you're going to zig. It's surprising, because the Nets were playing, you know, pretty good basketball, especially he's been playing outstanding, but it's not surprising because of the person that we're dealing with here. And so, you know, once the Nets and Kevin Durant tied their fortunes to Kyrie Irving, this is sort of what you get, is that, you're tying it to a guy who's not reliable, not predictable. And this is the situation that happens. And so, Sap, with the trade deadline so close now, is this enough time to get a deal done? Do you think he gets dealt before the trade deadline?
I'm sure the Lakers in Brooklyn maybe spoke in the offseason, so there's some parameters there, right? And maybe at some point the Lakers will say, look, to get Kyrie Irving, he may put us over the top. I know Kendrick Perkins thinks if Kyrie Irving goes to the Lakers, that the Lakers could win the West. And I agree with him on that, because the West, to me, is not as strong as it's normally been. I mean, Denver, to me, is the best team in the West, but you don't think Kyrie, LeBron, and a healthy Anthony Davis couldn't beat Denver? I do think they could beat Denver. They could beat Golden State, because Golden State still can't quite find themselves this year. They're just always hovering around 500, can't really win much on the road. So maybe there are parameters there. And at some point, the Lakers say, look, LeBron is having another marvelous season. He's about to break the scoring record in the next 2 or 3 games. Let's go all in. The 2027 first-round pick, the 2029 first-round pick, let's move them. If that's going to be enough to make this deal happen, Russell Westbrook as well, and you go from there. Dallas, I'm sure Dallas has had some discussions with Brooklyn, because that was another team that was rumored in the offseason, because Luka needs a wingman, and that would be an interesting duo. I mean, that could work out incredibly well or be a complete catastrophe, which is pretty much any place Kyrie Irving goes.
Right.
Right. Like Luka and Kyrie, that in theory is like, because Kyrie can play off the ball, and Luka is such a great player, period, maybe the best player in basketball, not named Giannis, that I think they could work, but it could also kind of blow up. So that's what you get with this guy. As I would always said about Kyrie Irving, he's predictably unpredictable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the perfect way to put it, Sap. And so, you know, I think we mentioned the teams that to keep an eye on. If it does happen, it will likely be L.A., Dallas, or Miami. Another team that was floated in there was the Clippers, who just for whatever reason, probably because, you know, their best player just decides when he wants to play or not in a different way than Kyrie, but it's, you know, also not very available. They have not been able to sort of put it together yet this season. They were early title favorites before the season started. Could you see that working out there?
Yeah. I mean, you know more about how the contracts work. Like Steve Ballmer has more money than any other NBA owner, you know,
combined.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's worth like $80 billion. So, you know, we know Golden State, they're not going to touch Kyrie Irving, but they're deep into the luxury tax. I think they pay $170 million in luxury tax. Golden State does. When you factor that in with their payroll, it's close to $400 million. I'm sure Steve Ballmer would do that. He's building a beautiful new arena. If it would put them over the top, sure. And I think he could work there too. The guy can work anywhere. But he can also implode the entire franchise. And again, the thing about the Clippers is they have a deep roster. They could move some pieces, right?
That's what it would be. Brooklyn gets players back. It's not about future assets so much as they get, you know, try to be competitive right now around.
Yeah, what the hell are the Lakers going to send back? They don't have the players. They have obviously LeBron and Anthony Davis aren't going anywhere. And Westbrook would be practical because of the contract working out, but it's not like they have a bunch of good young players that they could say, well, these three young players are going to interest the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn would look at their roster and go, I don't know how many guys that you have that are going to play for us. Whereas the Clippers have a deeper, much deeper roster than the Lakers.
Right. So I think that that's a team that if they want to, and I don't think that Steve Ballmer is risk adverse, you know, they could pull the trigger. And that is a very interesting big three: Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Kyrie Irving.
Yep. Yeah.
Again, I don't know if that works, but it's interesting.
Yeah. It's like some sort of great chef that's throwing all these different ingredients together and they make this gorgeous meal, right? This delicious meal. Like, but there's other times where a great chef maybe throws all these ingredients together and it just doesn't work out and you taste it and go, there's like some stuff missing or there's too much of this, not enough of that. That's the case. That's like that in almost any basketball environment, especially with this guy.
I wouldn't discount the Clippers doing it, not just because they're trying to win a championship, but also to potentially block the Lakers from doing it too. Mm-hmm. I think that's a, you know, a real thing that they look at. You know, they don't want the Lakers. They've been on top of the Lakers now for, you know, a couple of years and they've, you know, been beating them in the regular season. They don't want the Lakers to then surpass them again. And so I think that that's a legitimate thing they'll look at.
Yeah. And also, look, I'm a conspiracy theorist from time to time. Maybe I could talk to Kyrie Irving about this, but the trade deadline is on the 9th. The Lakers are scheduled to play that night. Right. And that could be the night that LeBron breaks the career scoring record, right? He's 63 behind Kareem. They've got a game Saturday. They've got a game Tuesday at home against Oklahoma City. He could wrap it up by Tuesday night against Oklahoma City if he gets 63 points, which is right on what his two-game average is so far this season. Or he could do it on Thursday night. I kind of hope he does it on Thursday night because it would be against Milwaukee. Giannis would be there. I think Giannis has taken the torch from LeBron as the best player in basketball. You know, it's a more of a high-profile game than Oklahoma City, although it doesn't really matter, you know, when you
don't think it would be meaningful to do it against the Thunders.
Yeah, not quite the same. And also, I'll go even deeper than that. I mean, Kareem played his first 5 years with the Milwaukee Bucks, and I don't think Kareem's going to be anywhere in the arena that night. I would be surprised if he did show up. But does he break the record the day of the trade deadline? And look, LeBron is still the biggest newsworthy player in the league. That would still be the lead story that day, is LeBron is now the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. But maybe a little bit would be taken away if Kyrie Irving gets traded, but then it would be pretty cool if he gets traded to the Lakers. I mean, and Kyrie's there Thursday. I mean, there's just so many different things that are working at this point, but that's what makes the NBA interesting, because we've kind of hit, you know, past the midpoint of the season and teams are now, you know, going through load management and trying to establish themselves. So it's kind of like the, you know, the dog days of early February in the league. And now the trade deadline comes about, the All-Star game, you got LeBron breaking the record, but now Kyrie Irving is thrown yet more into this.
The game against Oklahoma City and the game against Milwaukee, those are both road games for the Lakers?
No, so? Both at home. Both at home.
Oh, both at home. Why do you think Kareem's not going to be in the building then? Isn't he live in L.A.?
He does. They just have no relationship.
Correct me if I'm wrong, was Wilt Chamberlain not in the arena when he broke his scoring record?
It's so long ago. It was 1984, Jed. And that was in Las Vegas.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, they were playing the Utah Jazz in Vegas. Back then, I mean, you know, the league is incredible right now. But even in the early 80s, the Celtics used to have three home games a year in Hartford. I remember going to them. You know, teams would play in other cities to maybe reach their fan base or create a buzz. So that game was in Las Vegas. I don't remember if Chamberlain was there because Chamberlain and Jabbar did not have a great relationship either. So yeah, I don't think – I mean, Kareem – you know, one of the four greatest players in the history of the sport. I think off the court, just an incredible human being and what he's done, you know, for race relations and just how bright the guy is. He may be the brightest athlete that we've ever had, but he's not a warm, cuddly guy, right? I mean, he's never been that. He's not Shaq. Let's put it that way. Never been that. And he's an intellectual. So I don't think he's ever had a relationship with LeBron. I still think a lot of the Lakers never embraced LeBron. A lot of Laker fans have never embraced LeBron because for what, 15 years, they pushed back against LeBron to protect Kobe's legacy as a Laker. So, you know, it's tough to break these bad habits or good habits of hating a player. You know, it'd be like if Peyton Manning had showed up and all of a sudden started playing for the Patriots, you know, which he might be better than Mac Jones even at his advanced age. But, it would be kind of an odd fit, wouldn't it? Because for years you're bashing Peyton Manning and all of a sudden he's quarterbacking the Patriots. So, yeah, that's just a weird thing with LeBron and the Lakers and with the Laker nation. I hate using that term, but, you know, their fans and even former players, because Magic and Kobe are the two guys that are, like, exalted more so than any other Laker, including Kareem or Jerry West or Elgin Baylor or whoever else has played for them. Those are the two guys. Those are the two most popular Lakers by far. I don't even know who's third. Maybe it is Jerry West, but, you know, he's had a falling out with the ownership. So I'm rambling on here, but I don't know if Kareem would be there. I really don't. I would say it's 50-50, which isn't really good to say that on a podcast. You want to maybe take a stronger stand than that, but I don't know. I don't know if Kareem would be there.
Yeah, obviously, Kareem's taken a couple, you know, shots at LeBron, not warranted, some warranted. I thought that the stuff about the, you know, talking about the vaccine and that LeBron wasn't standing up and talking about that, I thought that was a fair shot to take at LeBron. You and I did the same thing. And you're, you know,
neither did Jordan, though, and no one bashes Jordan because I quite frankly think people are just frightened of Jordan.
I don't think anybody expected him to at any point.
Exactly, true.
Because LeBron that's not Jordan. About a lot of things. Jordan, you know, talks about golf and gambling occasionally?
Golf, gambling, scotch, cigars, whatever else. Right. Yeah, cigars and making money, you know, $175 million a year from Nike, which is still
great. So I thought that was a fair shot to take at LeBron. And I think some shots that Kareem's taken at LeBron have not been fair, have been more along the petty lines. As athletes, you know, they can be petty. That's not, you know, they're human beings. It's not something that you should not expect from them, even an all-time great in terms of on and off the court, like Kareem. You know, he's still a human and he's going to have things that bug him. I think he should be there. I think that's the right thing to do. You know, be there one, because, you know, it's one of the, maybe the most exalted NBA record outside of, you know, Bill Russell's 11 rings, which is never going to be broken.
There's only been really three players that have held that record too, Jed. It was, I mean, we can go back to the early days and George Mikan probably held it at one point.
He did.
But
yes.
George Mikan. But for the most part, it was Chamberlain to Kareem, who's had it now for almost 39 years. LeBron's going to break it in two or three games. He'll have that for a long period of time. You know, there's some really brilliant young players, but I don't know who's playing for 20 years at that high of a level and averaging 2,000 points per year. That just blows my mind.
It's like, because it's the longevity, you know, he's always been a great scorer, and maybe he's never, at some points there's been guys who are better pure scorers than him, you know, Kevin Durant, but he's just so consistent and like the scoring hasn't fallen off at all. I just don't know how you can expect somebody to go that long and continue to score at that rate, because a lot of it's you know, the genetics and the physical conditioning of LeBron. It's not just the skill set. Obviously, that's there. But, like, you have to take it so, so seriously every single year, being in that kind of crazy shape. And not a lot of people have that mentality.
No. I mean, the guy that is playing now that maybe down the road challenges is Luka. He's in his fifth year.
What kind of shape is he going to be in 20 years?
I don't know what Luka's going to look like at 32. I mean, he's going to be 24 the end of the month. He looks like he's 29 or 32 already. He's kind of got that old man body. So, yeah, I mean, do you expect him to play 20 years and average 2,000 points per year? No. Jason Tatum, who is in his sixth year, is going to be 25 in a month. I think he's a guy who stays in great condition and can have a long career, but he's a 22-point-per-game scorer so far in his career. Now, he's up to 30 this year, and I think that's what he's going to be for the next 5 or 6 years, but that's still not enough. We always thought Kevin Durant would get in there, but Durant's not durable enough. I don't know of anybody else. I mean, maybe somebody that's 10 years old right now that isn't going to be right in the NBA for another 10 years. And, you know, I'll be long gone before this record gets broken. But it's pretty amazing. It's kind of like the home run record. It was Ruth. He set it in the 30s or the late 20s. And then Aaron broke it and set it in 1974. And then Bonds broke it in 2007. There's really only been three guys that have held the home run record, and essentially three players that have held the NBA career scoring record, which is pretty amazing. And
yeah, there was an article on it recently. I think it was like somebody I don't remember, and then I think Bob Pettit maybe had it for a little while.
That makes sense.
And then obviously, like you said, Wilt shattered it, and then Kareem shattered Wilt's record, and LeBron is going to end up shattering Kareem's record. You know, by the time LeBron's done, he's going to pull away from Kareem by thousands of points, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, he could get to 45,000 points. If he plays three more years and averages 2,000 points per year, this 6,000 points, he's creeping up to 39,000. You do the math. He's also fourth in assists.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, I saw he just passed, whoever was fifth in assists, he just passed them.
It's crazy. I mean, and not to mention, 10,000-plus rebounds. I mean, this is why I think he's the greatest player ever. I know the championships don't measure up to Jordan, but the longevity is ridiculous. I mean, who at 38 years old is still that great? I remember growing up, and I'm old. John Havlicek, his final season with the Celtics, was 38 years old, and he averaged about 14, 15 points per game, and he could still play, and it was amazing. You're like, wow, this guy's incredible. He's, still a really good player. I mean, this guy's averaging 30 points per game
right
at the same age. I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy. It is. And, he's not slowing down. Like, that's why I'm saying, like, he's going to shatter the record. We knew it was inevitable that he was, a couple of years ago, it was inevitable he was going to break the record. But, now it's inevitable that he's going to just shatter it. Mm-hmm. He's going to put it. That's the thing, Sap, is that we're talking about, like, okay, who could, potentially break it that's playing right now? Like, we don't know what it's going to be, because it's going to be so astronomically high. Right. We're trying to project, okay, can a guy maybe pass Kareem? Maybe. I mean, that record stood for a very long time. It's still standing as of today. So I don't know that, by the time LeBron's career is done, how far ahead he puts it, that it's even like you can even comprehend doing it. Like right now in baseball, like, I can't comprehend anybody approaching Bonds.
No, Judge has got 300 home runs and he's 30. So if he averages 40 a year for a decade, that gets him to 700. But, again, Aaron Judge hasn't been the most durable guy. And Bonds was able to set that record. I know the jokes are there, but the guy was incredibly durable and incredibly consistent. He was always in the 42, 44, 46 home run range. He did have the 73 in 2001. That's what made Hank Aaron great, too. He was never a guy that hit 50. He was always right. 38, 40, 42. Consistency. I mean, Albert Pujols just retired with a little more than 700 home runs. Could have he come back for three more years and tried to chase it? Maybe, but, what's the value in that if you're just kind of hanging on and hitting, 11 home runs in a season or whatever, although he had like 22 home runs last year. Yeah, these records are tough. I mean, I also, though, think in hockey, Gretzky's 894 look completely out of reach, and I think Ovechkin is going to break that probably in two and a half years, because, again, athletes are better conditioned now than they were years ago. A guy like Ovechkin is just physically, he's kind of like LeBron of hockey. He's just this big, powerful, fast guy.
You never know who's around the corner.
You don't know. You don't. I mean, Brady's got all the records and yards and touchdown passes. And, you know, if Mahomes plays 17 years at this level, then he's going to set the records. I mean, they're all made to be broken. But Kareem's had it for almost 39 years.
Yeah, no, it's time. You know, it's time. It's you don't want these records to be completely out of reach. I mean, some, like, I highly doubt anybody's going to score 100 in a game. I think that one's pretty safe.
That looks pretty good.
Mostly because if a guy is going off like that, usually the team's blowing. It's a lot of times a blowout one way or the other.
Well, and Joe Mazzulla coaches, would keep his guys.
Coaches pull for guys. Yeah, Mazzulla would go for it, I guess.
Mazzulla would go for the 100 because no lead is ever safe. I think also like Pete Rose's hits records, 4,256. Is kind of out of reach.
Get singles anymore, so that's, well, you know,
everybody walks too. Like, you know, who gets 200 hits in a season? I mean, that's averaging 200 hits in a season for more than 21 seasons. That's another crazy record. DiMaggio's 56 game hitting streak, I think, is one that will never be approached. Like, the closest I believe Pete Rose was around 44 games. He did that.
Tony Gwynn had like a couple. That's a 400 season. I'm thinking
400 season. Yep, that's another tough one. There's certain ones that just the way the game's played now, it's just not reachable.
That's why I think the football ones are probably the most likely to be broken, because Brady's first 5 to 7 years in the league, it was a running league, and now it's just like, you know, running backs are an afterthought a lot of times for a lot of teams. And so Mahomes has been in this pass happy league his whole career. He obviously, you don't know how he's gonna progress and if he's gonna have injuries or whatever, but like if he stays at this rate, he will shatter those records because he's been in a, you know, it's the way the game's played, and that's ultimately how these records, you know, get broken, is the way the game is played changes and upgrades. And, you know, LeBron has had access to a three-pointer that, you know, Kareem didn't for most of his career. And, you know, I don't think he would have been taking them anyways. And
he
same
hit one.
With, you know,
he hit one in his career. He did somehow. He hit one. So,
and I'm sure LeBron would have come close to, you know, approach the record without three-pointers anyways, because it's not like he's a dead-eye three-point shooter.
I wish he took fewer three-pointers, to be honest with you. He's shooting like 29% from three this year. I wish he'd go to the basket more. He probably scored just as much. Yeah, just being in different fractions, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, they're all interesting records. And, again, I think you're right about football, and now you've added a 17th game, and I will guarantee you by the time Patrick Mahomes is done playing, there's going to be an 18th game. So now you're adding, you know, 16 to 18 is like a 12% increase. That's pretty significant. So now you're going to see Mahomes in an average year throw 40 touchdown passes. That can add up. But yeah, Brady's records, I think, are safe for a while. Mahomes the most likely to break them if he plays long enough and plays at that high level. But yeah, I mean, most of these records, they keep them for a long time.
But I will say, as of right now, just because of the exercise we were doing, I don't think there's a single player in the NBA right now that's going to approach LeBron's record. I think Luka Doncic is fantastic. I think Jason Tatum is fantastic. You know, Giannis, Kevin Durant, whoever you want to say, none of them are nobody in the NBA right now is touching this.
No, I mean, because LeBron has never scored fewer than 25 points per game since his rookie season. So you just look at his consistency. He's got a 27 points per game average for his career. He's been durable. And now he's in his 20th year. Yeah, Doncic makes the most sense of anyone, but I just question how committed he is, not as a basketball player. He's phenomenal, but in terms of conditioning. And that's what you need to do so that when you're 35, you're still an elite player. And I don't know if
right,
that's
going to
be the case.
I don't know. He's he's just an unbelievably gifted basketball player. He's not the genetic freak that LeBron is, you know? And I think that's helped LeBron, is that like LeBron's doesn't get hurt really often. I mean, the past couple of years he's been dinged up. Luka's dealing with some ankle stuff already this season, a couple of times, heel stuff. He's not in amazing shape. LeBron's always looked like Superman. So, you know, he has that advantage too, is that like he takes his physical conditioning extremely seriously. And he's fortunate to been blessed with an amazing, you know, physique and the ability to have that. I don't think Luka, you know, could ever look like LeBron, no matter how hard he tried to work out.
No. And then the other player that you can throw in there is Tatum, who'll be 25 in a month, but Tatum plays with another I wouldn't call him a great player, but a near great player in Jaylen Brown, right? So with Luka, who's Luka played with, like, in his career? So
Porzingis.
Pretty much it. That's probably the best player he's ever played with, and he's not a durable guy either and not the most consistent guy. So Luka kind of has to go out and score 33, 34 a night. Right? I mean, this is 19, he needs to score 50. So that's going to mean that he scores more. LeBron probably could have scored more. Well, again, he's incredibly unselfish and a great passer. When he was Miami, he kind of scaled back a little bit. Remember in Miami, he was like 26, 27 a game. Yep. Now with the Lakers, where he has to really carry them, he's averaging over 30 a game. And the sport's changed over the last decade. Scoring has just skyrocketed. But, yeah, I don't see anybody breaking this record. Again, it could be a 10-year-old that's a freak that, you know, enters the NBA in
could
nine,
be an embryo right now, as far as we know.
Exactly. Yeah, well, look, when Kareem set the record in 1984, LeBron wasn't even born yet because he set it in April of 84. LeBron came about in December of 84. So he was literally an embryo at that point.
There you go. So that's probably the most likely is that the person hasn't been born yet. But it's, you know, it's an amazing accomplishment. We'll talk more about it once he breaks it. You know, next week we'll put it more in a, you know, historical perspective. We'll talk more about it. But I hope Kareem is there because I think it's the right thing to do. I don't know what his health situation is, how comfortable it is for the state of the games, but what the Buss family should do is put him up in a box. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, do something, you know, after the game, whatever. I don't know. He should be
there. Have him sit next to Shannon Sharpe. You know,
Shannon Sharpe should not be allowed in the arena anymore.
And then maybe Shannon Sharpe will get in a fight with Kareem.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, Shannon Sharpe at least is picking fights with the guy, my guy Dylan Brooks, my Oregon alum on the Grizzlies, who picks fights with everybody. So
with
it's
everybody.
Not like, you know, really, he's just getting in the scraps with everybody. So
he's a hockey player.
I know. And Oregon doesn't even have a hockey program. So that's but that's going to do it for us here, Sap, at the Pick and Roll NBA podcast with Jet and Sap. Thanks to Full Press Coverage. Go check out their website. There's tons of great stuff on there. Sap, you got any articles coming out anytime soon?
No, we've kind of given a little break on that just for the time being, just concentrating on the podcast.
You didn't want to write an article lamenting Aaron Rodgers being in yet another non-Super Bowl season?
No, I've already forgotten about that. Although maybe here's a potential trade. Kyrie Irving to the Packers for Aaron Rodgers. I think that would be apropos.
Yeah, both teams would really benefit from that. But check out our Twitter accounts at JohnSap25, at JetStrier. We give you all the latest show info and all sorts of great stuff. Good stats. Sap had some nice stats today showing about, you know, Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum, scoring numbers, just trying to put it in perspective like we were talking about. So check that out. And you can find the podcast wherever podcasts are found. Just type in the Pick and Roll NBA podcast with Jet and Sap. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll be back next week with some new additions to the podcast and maybe a new location for Kyrie Irving. So lots to talk about next week with the trade deadline. We'll see you then. See you, everybody.